Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, this is the same introduction that I had on Thursday, but after some events yesterday, it might have a little different feel. But when we hear the word authority, how do we feel? What does our world think about with authority? And you might think governments and things. They often cringe, and there's different feelings about authority. When you look at the trust in authority, I found a few statistics of institutions or different types of authority and how much people trust them. The government, how much people trust the government to do what is right is 22% of people. Is that hard to believe? Don't think so. The television news is kind of at one of the all-time lows right now. 14%, they trust that authority so little. Public schools are at 26%. But organized religion and churches are not much higher at only 32%. Something that we all need as well is the medical system, going to doctors. People trust the medical system only at 34%. Police at 43%. Things that go up a little bit more above 50% is the military. And then the highest one, the highest kind of authority or institution that people trust, small businesses at 65%. I was having lunch with my mentor, mentee, John Jordan, who preached here not too long ago. We go up to a restaurant in Green Bay every time we meet, a pho restaurant, like a Vietnamese soup, and small business. And I talked to her about that. And she's like, yeah, you know, we're a small business. And when we're not here, we like to go and support small businesses. I think some of the struggle is that all the big things, the big authorities, the big entities, it's harder to trust. But the small businesses, you see them, you see what they're there for, you see them and who they are, and it's easier to trust, isn't it? But otherwise, the idea of authority in our world, I think years ago, authority was a little more trusted, or people didn't have that reaction that we have today. But even sinfully, I think just authority people struggle with, don't we? We don't like listening to someone else, putting ourselves under a different authority. So what is really important? What type of authority is important? Well, today we're going to talk about true authority. How God is a true authority and what makes him a true authority, both the word true and an authority, and why that's a good thing for us. As Paul is writing to Titus, he describes our God, and he talks about our God who does not lie. He promised from the beginning of time, and he has appointed a season. He's brought to light through the preaching entrusted by the command of God our Savior. He spoke about earlier that in the knowledge of truth that leads to godliness. Paul's building and speaking to Titus that what's important is the truth. That God is the truth. And so what is really important is a trusted authority is essential. Would you agree with that? That if you thought about all of those different things that we listed that people struggle with, if they trusted them, do you think it would be different? Do you think about going to the doctor or going to an auto mechanic? Right? If your car is not working right, you can be really afraid if you don't have a trusted person to go to. But if you do, hey, you know that this person is not going to rip you off. They're going to get it done. Same thing with medicine. If you trust your doctor, then you don't have that same fear. So what's really essential is a trusted authority. And what Paul is saying is God is that authority. God speaks the truth. He does not lie. And the authorities in this world, we can try to be trusted, but the truth is we each and every one of them is sinful. Is not God. No one authority in this world can we say they do not lie. As much as we as leaders would like to do that, we are still imperfect. And so the true authority, the trusted authority that is essential, is God. The one who gives us his word and that we can trust in a world where they're so hard to find the truth. And so hard to find something you can put your trust into. God says, my word is true and unchanging. You can trust in me. I love you. He says, talk about grace and peace from God, the Father, and Christ Jesus, our Savior. It's what the message is about, the truth and God's love. So then how do we go out and share this, or why, how does this authority get shared? Where Paul speaks to Titus, and the situation here is that he says it, right? The reason I left you in Crete was that you might put into order what was left unfinished. Right? Paul had started to put elders in place, but it was unfinished. And Titus was there, given authority by Paul to then give authority to others, understanding that authority didn't come just from Paul, but from God. That's what Paul is saying. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. So as he's encouraging Paul, he's encouraging them in what that leadership and authority should look like. And as we talk about authority, I think it's good to see that leadership and authority kind of go together. That they can be different. You can have leadership without authority, but it's harder. And understanding that one can have authority and not be a great leader as well. But what it looks like here is Paul is encouraging what one will look like as an elder. He says, an elder must be blameless, faithful to his wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild. And since the overseer manages God's household, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. Whew. What's Paul saying here? As he lists all of these things, he's saying, watch your attitude and actions. Watch your behavior. Watch how you are displayed and how that faith is being lived out in your life. Why? Because the attitudes and actions affect the message. How we live, what we say, is a reflection of what we're trying to share and what we're trying to accomplish. And so if I'm trying to share about God and his love, but I don't live that out in my life, it's hard. People will call you a hypocrite or tear down what you're trying to share if the actions and attitude don't match. And this can be a hard thing. The encouragement here is to not just look just at pastors and those who are called into ministry, but you can compare this to anyone. If you're going to listen to someone, if someone is to have authority or respect from you, take just a thing here. Say they're given to drunkenness. You find them drunk all the time. Are you going to go them for wise words or to see how to live life if you know that they're drunk all the time? Looking at being self-controlled and disciplined, when you find people like that, it's easier to go and to listen to see what they have to share and how they can lead you. Other things of not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. If people are dishonest, if they're angry, if they're quick-tempered, it's harder to follow them. I think this is what we see in our politics, isn't it? When people, you question their motives and you see that they're so angry, everyone's so angry at one another. Why? Our actions, our attitudes, they affect what we're trying to share. And yes, God is saying this is for those he's called to positions in authority of the church, but he's calling all of us to be witnesses of his message. And so an encouragement for us all to examine how we are doing these things in our lives. One of the books that I really like on authority and leadership is this one called How to Lead When You're Not in Charge. And the first point it talks about is to lead yourself. Even if you're not in the highest point of authority, even if you're not a leader, focus just on leading yourself. Because if you are leading yourself, think about all these things, right? To be self-controlled, to be disciplined, to lead your family, to be in the Word. If you're leading yourself, it's going to be easier for others to follow you. And so, yes, we call our pastors and our teachers, those in authority, our elders, our leadership team to have these characteristics, but God's really calling every Christian to be this way. The truth is on this is if it's only about our attitude and actions, then we would have a problem because we aren't perfect and we are going to stumble at these things. And so as we read them, we're like, oh man, there's some of these that I struggle with. Could I be a called worker? Could I serve in God's church? Or is anyone going to really listen to what I have to say? Well, what Paul is saying this is all about is when he talks about the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness is in the hope of eternal life. The focus is eternal life, and when we talk about what he is going to do with his words and actions, in verse 9 it says, he must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. What's the message? It's not me, not you, but we need to keep the focus off of us and keep it on the eternal message. Keep the eternal message the focus. That, yes, we fall short, and it's important that it's all about God. Not about me, not about you. Because we fall short. And so it's about God's authority. That God is perfect and God does not lie. And that we have Jesus, our Savior. The one who comes and redeems us. The one who looks at this list and he did it all perfectly. He did it so that when we fall short, we know that we are forgiven and redeemed. So what a burden if it was all about us and pointing to me. Be sad. But no, our message is about God's authority, about God's truth, and about Jesus who came to love us and to die for us and to rise again, and the one who washes us and makes us clean, who forgives us for the times that we have failed and fallen short on this list. It's so important for us to see that. And so while we might cringe at authority, we don't want to cringe at God's authority, because God's truth that he is perfect and he loves us and that you're redeemed and forgiven, man, that's a truth that we want to hold on to. It's a truth that we want to point to. It's found in his word that is true and an authority in a world that doesn't have truth. It's always looking for answers and always swaying back and forth. So this authority, God sends us out, and so God's authority, as he sends us out, it's for you and also through you. It's an encouragement to understand that we have this true word, that God has given us something we can depend on and hold on to and share, but then we get to share that with others. And so while we might bristle at authority, we might downplay it, right? We might downplay it and say, oh, how can we trust authorities? How can we say that this is something good? Having authority is good, because what happens when you don't have good authority? Imagine in a household where parents have no authority, where young children do whatever they want, and parents can't say no. What does it look like? Who becomes the authority? Who's in charge? Each person becomes in charge. And so while we, our sinful nature and our world struggles with authority, a good authority, a true and trusted authority, is very important. When authority is downplayed, then others, everyone thinks that they're the authority, and they are right, and they make themselves God. But we have a God who loves us and forgives us, and we want to point people to that eternal message that has consequences. An eternal message that means forgiveness and life forever. Something greater than this world. Something greater than all the things that we struggle. The chaos and the fears and the doubts, the trauma, the tragedies. This broken world filled with sin and sadness and death. God says there's something more, and you can trust me that this is true, even though our hearts question. And so what do we get to do, and what joy do we have as he sends us out? But that we can be that authority, because God has given us his word. And in ministry, just like any other job or a position of leadership, what are you actually trying to do in ministry? Think about even as a parent. There's this thing you want to pass on. By your words and actions, by what you do, you want to model what it means to be a Christian and be founded in the truth, and to pass that on, and for others to take your place. Isn't that often what ministry is about? Here, that's what Paul did. Paul said, here, I was the leader here, but I brought you in to be the leader, to bring others into leadership. As pastors, as those who share the ministry, it's not that the minister wants to do everything. No, but we want to train and build you up so that you can share this eternal message. And then as you share this message, as you work in the gospel, you can lead others, who will then in turn lead others to Christ. And it continues and continues. We're always trying to work ourselves out of a job. That's a good thing. It's not about us. It's not about who we are, but about who our God is. And that message of love and forgiveness. That message of hope and peace and truth in a broken world. And so while our world might cringe at authority, struggle with believing a truth, you don't have to worry. You have a true authority in a God who loves you, a God who created this world and loved you so much to send Jesus to die for you and to live for you and to send you out with a beautiful gospel message, a message that leads to eternity. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.